and welcome back to the Ramble Room. It's great to have everybody here that is here. Sitting here, this is a very special edition of the Ramble Room. We have three Wyoming State representatives and another honored guest with us. David, you're probably not a guest anymore, but we'll get
probably
to
not
that in a second. Anyway, around the room, we have Representative Mark Jennings, District 30.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We have Representative Rachel Rodriguez-Williams, District 50.
Hello there.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you in the Ramble Room. I think it's your first time, but that's...
It is.
Good. I hope you come back. David Iverson, Cowboy State Politic.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm dandy. And from everybody's favorite district, number one, Representative Chip Nyman.
Good to be here, Ken. Thanks for the opportunity.
Good to have you back. Also with us as a special guest today is Mark Jones. He's the regional director of the Rocky Mountain and the Great Plains.
Gun Owners of America. And I live down in Buffalo, Wyoming. Happy to be here.
David, why don't you lead us off?
Sure. Thanks, Ken. We've got Representative Nyman here. And as we all know, he got beat up a little bit in the Corporations Committee for asking a simple question that people support a runoff election. How dare you do that, Chip?
Naive.
Yeah, just my methods were evidently not that well liked or appreciated, but that's okay. That's okay. I think we're getting to where we needed to go.
So I guess where we ought to start is, what were you trying to accomplish? I mean, why should we have a runoff election?
Well, I think the thing that I see in this is that it's... we're seeing a lot of people that are being elected into office in our state that are not getting a majority of the vote when there's no plurality in that situation. And so I guess it concerns me and it concerns the people that I represent that, you know, that we've got folks like our governor. He won with 34% of the vote in the primary. And I think that we got to recognize that Wyoming, because of its supermajority, you know, Republican Party, that... the election, quite honestly, takes place in the primary. You know, there's the Democrats right now are at a point where they're not strong enough in the state to be able to field, I think, based on what we see for the number of Republicans in the state, to field a candidate that they feel confident in. So primarily, you know, our primaries are going to probably select who's going to go on to the general, and very much are going to be the ones that are going to carry the day. And so with that in mind, I think it's vital when we see these folks getting into these positions of authority with no challengers to speak of when they get to the general, we have to recognize that we've got an issue in our primaries, and that folks that don't have a majority of the vote are getting moved on into the general, which automatically puts them for a shoe-in, quite frankly, most of the time in the general. So that's why I'm very concerned and very motivated to see to it that I think the state of Wyoming and the voters therein have an opportunity to be able to see a runoff. If we see somebody that comes out of the primary elections that do not have a majority of the vote, then I think the only responsible thing to do would be to have those top two contenders be able to go head-to-head and then be able to get a majority, 50% plus one vote, to send them on to the general. And I think that's the only fair way to do it. I think that people deserve to have that opportunity to know that they've got somebody in those positions that have got the choice of the will of over half of the people in the state. And without that, I think we see it in a lot of different respects. I think, you know, and the thing that concerns me, and we see this happening all over, is that we've got a pretty large number of people in the state of Wyoming that recognize that they don't have, you know, a voice really in their own primary as far as the Democratic Party is concerned. And that's why we see a lot of crossover. The information I've received from the Secretary of State's office is that, for example, in 2018, there were over 12,000 people, 12,509, I believe, that crossed over different parties' affiliations to be able to vote. And of that number, over 6,000 of them were Democrats that crossed over into a vote in the Republican primary. So when you start looking at numbers and you start adding that dynamic in, you know, that kind of a crossover, that kind of a thinking process or that perspective being, you know, brought into what we would consider the conservative decision that is being made to forward our what's supposed to represent our viewpoint as far as the conservative or quote unquote the Republican, you know, primary to forward our candidate to provide that opportunity for them has an enormous impact. And then when you exacerbate that or you add that on to the fact that we don't have to have 50% of the vote to get out of the primary, then in my mind, you've got a one party that basically, and I've heard Representative Jennings say this, you know, what's better than having a party is owning two parties. And so I think the reality of it is we've got a couple different issues. I understand that, you know, the party affiliation change is not the cure-all end-all because that's just going to push people to change their affiliation sooner. But I'll be honest with you folks, I think this runoff election and the ability to have a runoff election legislation passed is going to be critical to allowing people to actually get somebody that's elected with over half the vote. So that's why it's important to me, and I think it's important to the people of the state.
I think you hit on an important point. You know, one of the reasons why we have so much crossover voting is, in fact, I think it's almost encouraged. At least I'm fairly certain of it being encouraged in Johnson County that if you want to vote in the primary, which, you know, we do have a supermajority in this state, so people are told if you want to vote in the primary, well, you have to register as a Republican. And that may not represent your values, so you're going to vote for the most liberal candidate out of that Republican field. And the reality is that's not really fair to the Democrats either, because they're forced to participate in a Republican primary, and, you know, they do have their own party. What do you think, Rachel?
Well, what occurred at the last committee meeting that Representative Nyman mentioned and you mentioned, I think, was definitely some pushback from the committee. And as a representative from House District 50, I can tell you that there are a number of constituents in my area that are very concerned about the crossover voting and also are in support of a potential runoff bill. So I stand strong behind Representative Nyman and his efforts, and it was unfortunate that he did get that pushback, the pushback that he did.
Representative Jennings, are you awake?
Barely, David. So I totally agree with both of those points of view. I think there's some things to keep in mind here that, you know, it's not all just a question of the last day crossover. There's a lot of people in the minority party that are not intending to go home unless there's some sort of a event. And so I think that you have to keep in mind, and that's why part of the reason that the runoff is so important. I think most of your polls out there would show 70-30 split or something like that. I actually think it's probably closer. I think that if you could actually get the Democrats to go back to their party, you would probably see a split more like 55-45, somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe a little more Republican than that. So the runoff, I think, is very important to deal with this issue. But the real issue amongst Wyomingites, and I realize a lot of your crowd is probably conservative, but it's a lack of integrity in our society. And there was a time where you stood up for those Democrat values, if that's what you truly believed in. And today, because they've met with some losses in this state for quite a while, they're willing to, but whatever means, to achieve their goal. And I think that's a lack of integrity, and I wish it wasn't so. I wish that they would come to the table. Listen, if you believe differently, say that. But don't come and try and take another party over.
What about you, Ken?
Well, I'm going to throw a question back at you real quick. You are an astute follower of politics.
I don't know about astute, but I...
Well, maybe I misspelled the word I was thinking of, but mispronounced. I can't help but think, because everything we hear about now is about Liz Cheney and about how she fails to represent Wyoming. How do you think this sort of thing would affect that particular election? What happened there? How did Liz get elected? And what happens in this next election when we have 11 to 5 people running for the same position? And how do these proposals alleviate that problem or make clarity out of it? I guess that's my question.
Well, the last election, what'd she win by, 32%? I mean, it certainly wasn't 50.
Well, I would say you've got to also look back. At the point that she was elected last time, she was pro-Trump.
Clandestinely, probably.
Clandestinely, but she was, and that was what was presented. So her number was probably more reflective because the values of Wyomingites saw the conservative values, and she actually voted with Trump a fair amount of the time. I always remind people that Benedict Arnold was a hero before he was a traitor.
Well, that's true, but then if we look at, there's a couple of issues you just brought up there, but if you look at Liz Cheney's voting record, it's absolutely true that she voted with the president 94% of the time. But those were all the easy votes, okay? The important ones are the 6% that she didn't vote with them. And those were all foreign policy-related matters. You know, the troops in Syria, the border wall, border funding, bringing troops home from the Middle East. Those are the ones that she disagreed with the president on. And the truth is, she voted that way because it cost her and her dad and all of her friends money. And, you know, so really when we talk about Liz Cheney not representing our values or Wyoming, getting to Ken's question, I think the real issue is that she never had any intention to represent us, that it's all about, you know, who Liz Cheney is, her dad, the military-industrial complex that she definitely supports, Northrop Grumman and all of them. I mean, they all gave huge donations to her her last campaign and this campaign, you know. So really, it's that 6% of the votes that you got to look at. And to answer Ken's question, you know, the way the race is right now, we've got what, 8-9 people running. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's divide
11 now, isn't it?
Something
yeah,
like
Bo,
that.
Bo and another have joined 11. The fray.
O'Neill.
Well, you know, we don't, you know. The thing is that if all of those people were to stay in the race, you just divide up the vote between all of them, and none of them is going to get a plurality of the votes.
Right.
Which, I mean, by definition means that they're not going to represent, you know, 50% plus one of Wyoming voters. And, I mean, I think that's precisely the problem that Representative Nyman's trying to solve here.
So if I understand Representative Nyman, your plan would mean that at the end of the primary, you take, what, the two top vote getters?
That's correct.
And they have a runoff, and we see if one of them get over 51%.
Yep. If they did not get over 50 plus one vote percent in the primary, then the top two then would go on to a runoff.
But yes. There's another proposal out there. They call it ranked voting. How does that work, and will it work?
By and large, I agree that the ranked choice, most of the ranked choice ideas are a no-go. Now, that having been said, I have not seen all of the ranked choice ideas, and I understand that there could be some. Any of the ranked choice married to an open primary is an absolute disaster. You just can't have that. I mean,
and that's what they're calling a jungle primary.
A jungle primary, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I won't go so far as to say that there is no ranked choice that could be looked at. I will say that the majority of the ideas that have been brought forward, the Republican Party has denounced. And by and large, like I said, I have heard there are some that might be worth looking at a little bit. But by and large, you certainly can't put any of them with a jungle primary.
We need to take just one step back. One of the goals of the Ramble Room is to educate people who are brand new to politics, have never really thought about these things, maybe aren't keeping up with all those. So if we have this term, a ranked choice election, what does that mean? How would that work logistically?
Well, it's weighted votes, so that you would pick your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, you know. And it's weighted, and there's algorithms that would run in that. And I would agree that, by and large, most of those are not functional, and they create as many problems as they might solve, and they're hard to administer.
I don't know about you, but when you said algorithms, the hair on the back of my neck stood up.
It's a hard word for me to pronounce
into that,
also.
Especially after that Florida debacle some years back.
It'd be hard to administer. There's no question. Secretary Buchanan agrees that it's... There are some that are less cumbersome, is my understanding. And like I said, I've not looked into them. I would be remiss to say that I was supportive of any of them.